Jasmine, thank you so much for joining me on 2SER this morning.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Now, Jasmine, how did you decide on Lyrebirds to help you explore your story and the wider story of First Nations people?
So it definitely wasn't the first starting point to use the Lyrebirds to explore these themes and issues. However, as I was making my way through my first development and even my second development at Campbelltown Arts Centre here on Dharawal Country, I spent quite a bit of time with one of the elders who lives out here, Uncle Ivan, and quite a few of the elders who come in and out of Campbelltown Arts Centre. And they kept mentioning lyrebird. I know it's a bird of huge significance to the area and the Dharawal people of this region. But everybody kept talking about the lyrebird to me, and I just thought, this is so weird. Why does everybody want me to make a work about a lyrebird? And it wasn't so much that people wanted me to make a work about it, but the bird kept coming up. And then the more that I looked at the themes that I was exploring on all the different types of stereotypes that we as Indigenous people feel like we have to fit into, and all those boxes that we feel that we have to tick, I started thinking about how this bird is very similar to us as people, in that it mimics so many other birds around it, and yet there's this very special, unique and intriguing bird within. And like, what is that bird? Like, who is the lyrebird? And I feel like it was a really great metaphor for us as First Nations people.
Mm, fantastic. I can imagine it's an emotional experience performing this dance. It's very personal, and you know, it's a very serious subject, something that's a part of your life. How do you sort of get into the right headspace before going on stage?
Yeah, that's a good question. This has definitely been a hugely personal process. And I think an element of it being so personal makes it easier, and then a huge part of it also makes it very challenging, confronting a lot of family and intergenerational traumas and issues and like some of the awful things that my family has experienced due to the White Australia policy, as well as my co-collaborator Kane Sultan Babbage. We spoke a lot about these different traumas, such as the Stolen Generation or the exemption form, also known as the dog license, that our families experienced and chose to go down those paths, or their parents chose to go down those paths. And yeah, so I guess in a way it is difficult to perform and inhabit this space of such a personal work. But at the end of the day, we walk around with these things every day. So it has been some kind of a way to get it out and explore these things in a conscious level, not just a subconscious way.
Mm. Okay, maybe go back a little while. Why don't you tell me a little bit about some of your first early memories of music and dance?
So I do remember being very little and loving dancing and dancing in front of the television when it was turned off and watching my reflection in the lounge room. And I remember those feelings of feeling so free and so enjoyable. But at the same time, I didn't really want anybody to watch. I think my mum used to secretly around the corner and watch me dancing in the lounge room to my reflection, but I would have just been mortified if I had have known that anyone was watching me. So that's one of my earliest memories of dancing. I've always loved it. Always loved moving and moving to music, despite the fact that I started actual classes, dance classes, quite late. It's always been a natural love of mine.
Now, with your interest and obviously, you know, dance being your profession, curating these fantastic performances, and with dance being such an important part of Indigenous culture, telling stories and things like that, and now with you bringing your performances to places like the Sydney Festival, how do you feel about sort of continuing that traditional Indigenous culture at places like the Sydney Festival? Do you sort of see a personal responsibility in carrying that culture forward in new formats and in new venues?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think one of the reasons why us as Aboriginal people are the oldest continuing culture on the planet is because we've always adapted to our environment, and we evolve as people, and I do think that contemporary expression is a form of carrying of cultural things forward, especially for as a way of exploring modern day impacts of colonization. That's still a part of our cultural history, all of those events, and I think it's important to include that as cultural content because it's part of our stories collectively and individually.
Mm. Now, you also have a 10-month-old son, a young one. How do you sort of hope to educate him about your culture? Do you see, you know, making dance a part of his life as well? And sort of what do you hope the future looks like for him when he becomes a young man?
I hope that he feels that he has enough support and freedom to be able to do whatever he feels is right for him. And I want to create as much of a connection with my own community and strengthen those relationships so that he doesn't feel like he has to pave the way for himself and any future kids that him or my nieces might have as well. Mm. So, I think my own actions in finding my cultural strength and even my own strength as a human, as a person, is something that I can gift my son so that he can feel free to just explore whoever he wants to be.
Fantastic. Okay, well, The Complication of Lyrebirds is on coming up at the Sydney Festival. How can people see the performance? How can people see your dance?
So tickets are available through Campbelltown Arts Centre website or on the Sydney Festival website. If they want to come and see the show, it's opening next Thursday. There's a preview on Wednesday and it runs through till Saturday. So we're doing 6 shows. Yeah.
Sounds fantastic.
Come along.
All right. Well, that's all we have time for, Jasmine, but good luck with the Sydney Festival and your performance.
Thanks so much.
Sounds fantastic.